You're listening to the DGD Podcast,
sponsored by La Touraine.
Here's your hosts, Robert Reynolds and Juan Daniels.
Welcome back to the DGD Podcast. Sorry for the technical difficulties, folks. Again, happy Friday. As always, Robert Reynolds and Juan Daniels. Listen, we're going to talk recruiting and a lot of it, okay? But first, make sure to check out La Touraine Watches. Use code DGD at checkout to get 10% off your purchase site-wide. And check out the Discord and the Patreon. Get some intel that you might not find other places. And while obviously, listen, so Juan, we talked, you know, I don't know if we've talked about this. Dylan Raiola, 2024 quarterback, right? Let's go ahead. Listen, this is the perfect time to look at recruiting and how things are changing for Georgia, right? How they're changing. And we're going to talk a little bit more into, you know, multiple positions, but I definitely want to start at the quarterback position. Because in my opinion, that's one of the pivotal pieces of a recruiting class. And you look at the situation where, you know, for 23, right, for in the 2023 cycle, you're in the hunt for Arch Manning, which a lot of people think it's probably Texas, Georgia at this point. You look at other schools that are in there, but let's be honest, I think it's these two teams. And we'll see what happens there. You know, 2024, listen, you look at Dylan Raiola just commits to Ohio State. You know, that's a tough loss for 2024, right? I really like what I saw and see, for that matter, with Dylan's tape and everything like that. But all is not lost for 2024, right? It's not lost. There's a quarterback out of Providence in Charlotte, North Carolina, near me, Jaden Davis, okay, in the same class, 2024. This, in my opinion, and this is hard to say this, but dude is a stud, mm-hmm. Okay? A absolute stud. So if you depends on the situation, right? You know, is Arch Manning for the 23 class one, is that a must-have recruit for this cycle for Georgia?
It is an absolute must-have recruit. And it's funny, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were just talking about the genius of Kirby Smart. And so Kirby probably had a conversation with the quarterbacks, with that group. And for him to allow Stetson Bennett to stay on an additional year had some potential to kind of hurt recruiting. I mean, you had, one of our top receivers leaving just because of that. And then two, you know, they didn't really go too hard after a quarterback. I don't necessarily consider Gunnar Stockton that blockbuster guy that we were looking for. But he's basically saying, listen, this is what the quarterback room looks like right now, Arch Manning. It's basically yours to take. And so if he follows in the footsteps of his uncle Peyton, Peyton Manning, his freshman year, probably – you know, he didn't start probably the first four or five games, but then after that sixth game, completely took over, and then he was the starting quarterback for Tennessee from there on out. Same thing with Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence took over halfway, and the guy that he was competing with was a pretty good quarterback. So I think that's what they're looking for. And, you know, if you're going to be at a premier program, you're going to want to be at Georgia. And, you know, if you're looking at the future, if I'm a quarterback, if I'm a recruit and I'm looking at the future, Texas for me is not it. It's going to be in the SEC, even though Texas will be in the SEC, but it's Georgia who's already established, and it's just going to be one championship after the next. So in order for that to happen, we need Arch Manning.
No, I like your idea. All right, listen, the 23 cycle is absolutely deep at, you know, the quarterback. If you look at the top, there's a lot of, you know, quarterbacks at the top, right? And honestly, I'm in a situation where, you know, you look at Nico, right? Nico out at that's committed to Tennessee. Dylan Lonergan is a quarterback that's in state. You have to worry about him being a baseball player because he is a bona fide baseball player. But there's a lot of quarterbacks to choose from. But Arch Manning, you know, listen, you look at what he's doing down at Newman, right, down in Louisiana. And for me, I think what you're trying to recruit him is for his IQ. He's listen, the Manning pedigree, right? That athletic, that listen, the whole Manning family is athletic, right? I think the only reason why Cooper wasn't like a bona fide athlete or, you know, quarterback or, you know, football player like Archie and all those other guys, medical issues, right? Mm-hmm. But super athletic. And I think he was honestly even more athletic than Eli and Peyton for that matter. So that tells you what you're looking out of to get. But his IQ is through the charts. Like, it's off the charts. Like, you get him in a situation where, you know, like, and for Arch, you're looking at this right here. You look at Georgia, you look at Texas, right? Those are the top two that you're, you know, a lot of speculation. Listen, he keeps things closer to vest, right? So if you hear anything about Arch, unless it comes from him or Cooper, it's almost just hearsay. You just have to speculate at this point. But comes out saying, you know, Athens is the best town, college town he's ever seen, right? You look at, listen, there's an X factor here that I don't think people really understand one, and that's Buster Faulkner. Listen, his offensive coordinator at Newman, right? And this was a shout out to Jeff Centel here, but Buster Faulkner was the offensive coordinator for Arch's offensive coordinator at Newman. So there's a lot of links here to Georgia, but you look at this situation, and Georgia's offensive line is probably one of the best ones in the country, right? But they also have a defense. And Juan, as a former player yourself, I think you understand the importance of having a defense to go with the offense. It helps you out as a quarterback, because not saying that he can't, but you're not under the same amount of pressure to go out and win games from a necessity standpoint, more so than, okay, I have a defense that's going to help me out if I mess up, right? But you want to be, he's going to be smart with the ball, things like that. But he's also, his defense, it's not going to be a shootout week in and week out, right? That has to weigh on a quarterback's mind, because not saying that he wouldn't mind that, right, from a statistical standpoint. But at the same time, if I have the ability to have a defense like Georgia's, I'm not under as much pressure, right? He's going to the NFL regardless, right? So stats don't matter in college to him. Like, it could if you're trying to win Heisman or whatever. But I think for Arch, and this is my assumption here and speculation, I think he wants to win a national title. Where is he going to have the better chance to do it at? Is he going to have a better chance to do it at Texas or in Georgia?
Yeah. I'm thinking Georgia. I just don't see it happening. The benefits of him going to Texas, obviously you've got Sarkisian, who just saw something on Twitter that kind of just showed his pedigree of the players, or sorry, the QBs that he's put in the NFL. Now, he does a great job, and Munkin unfortunately does not have that, and historically Georgia does not have that. But why not be, you know, what the probably the second or third quarterback to ever come out of Georgia to be something special? I mean, you've got Matt Stafford, who just won a Super Bowl, and you know, why not be, you know, be a part of something special? And then that'll, you know, that may start a huge trend of quarterbacks wanting to go to Georgia, just again, just like Alabama, which again, you go back to you know, a couple of years ago with your McElroys and those guys, and you know, no one wanted to go to Alabama to play quarterback. Now Alabama's getting the top tier quarterbacks all over the place, and Georgia's now in the running to do that. If they pull off Arch Manning, then that's gonna, you know, set some type of storm off to say, hey man, this is going to be the place to be. If Arch Manning, who everybody knows, wants to go there, that, you know, that's going to be something that quarterbacks are just going to follow in his footsteps.
Absolutely. Now I want to take a moment to talk about Jaden Davis. Not only is he from North Carolina, near me, transfers into Providence, which is very, very, very good school in North Carolina. You also look at what he did. So I think composite-wise, he's number two overall for the 24 cycle, right? You lose on Dylan Raiola to Ohio State, presumably, right? Unless things change. But what he brings, what Jaden Davis brings, is a true dual threat. But my man has a cannon, and he's very athletic. So I'm sold on Jaden Davis, point blank, period, right? And I will say this right here. The fact that Georgia missed out on Raiola only strengthens my confidence in Georgia potentially landing Jaden Davis, right? I'm telling you right now, if you have not done your research on this kid, I'm surprised you haven't. I know, but at the same time, 2024 is a good chunk away, right? A lot of people focus on 23, which we're going to talk about in just a minute, Juan. But yeah. 2024, if you need a quarterback of the future, Jaden Davis is your guy. I'm just saying. But we're going to do a quick roll call, Juan. We have the 63-3 DGD, yes, Patrick Oliver, Joel Sanders, Bruce, and Bishop Don. Guys, thanks for hanging out on this Friday. Listen, we're hearing some go dogs, some hey guys, hey dogs. Listen, now we're talking. We've talked about Arch. We've talked about the quarterback position. Juan, you talked about Arch being a must-have get, right? Not only is he the must-have you want, right, but I'm telling you right now, what he can bring potentially in other positions is an excellent addition to this 23 class, right? Just going to leave it there. You look at guys like Ruben Owens that's been openly talking about wanting to play with Arch in college, right? Ruben Owens is a dude at running back, mm-hmm. Okay? Absolute stud, very fast, very fast. But he's also physical. He's got that perfect blend that you want, right? But I want, so in the comments, guys, we're going to talk about positions, but if you want a position to be talked about currently, right, the topic is how Georgia is changing its method of recruiting for the day. Feel free to drop a comment. Let us know what position you want to hear us talk about, and we will talk about it. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about running back. Listen, nothing's changing at running back for Georgia. Nothing's changing, okay? It is business as usual. If the mold isn't broken, there's no need to fix it. Period. Because you just got in the past cycle, wow, I am having a hard time today. Past cycle, you look at, you know, Andrew Paul, right? Three-star, don't underestimate the three-star ranking. We know this. Dude came out amazing in the end of the recruiting cycle, right? After Jordan James commits to Oregon, instead decommits and then commits to Oregon. But you also get Branson Robinson, right? You also get Branson Robbins. You're good there. But 23, you're going for the best guys. Dale McGee will go get the best guys that he knows will fit perfectly. So with that being said, we're going to move to what Michael B. asked us to talk about, and that is wide receiver, right? And let's be honest. With new coach B-Mac, right? Because his former days, he was a running backs coach before Dale McGee and everything. Now he's here as a wide receivers coach. And he cleaned the board off, right? Cortez goes to LSU. Coach Hankton comes in, swipes the board clean, right? Swipes it clean. Now you're starting to see some guys, right, that you could see here, some elite guys. Hakeem Williams is a name that people might need to keep an eye out for. You're in the hunt for, right? He's going to – his track record for running backs is second to none, right? I don't know if people remember this, but he was crucial – and bringing in Gurley, Chubb, Michelle, Keith Marshall, those guys. That's some big-time running back names, big-time running backs, right? I expect him to do the same thing with receiver. Now, Juan, do you think that the prototypical receiver for Georgia, how would you list that prototypical receiver?
That's a tough one, because historically, you know, even going back to AJ Green, the Fred Gibsons and all that, it's just not necessarily been in anything in particular. There's been a tall guy, short guy, fast guy, not so fast guy, and they just do so much rotating. So Georgia's going to be the last place that you're going to think about is wide receiver U. And so, you know, as Michael, as far as, you know, wide receivers are concerned, it's going to take a while. It's going to take some stick-to-itiveness with, you know, them sticking with one or two guys, maybe three guys. You think about Alabama the last couple of years, and you have your Mechies, you have your Jameson Williams, and everybody knows about those guys. Everybody knew about the LSU guys with, Jefferson and Jamar Chase, and even Ohio State. Ohio State had guys go three, I think, was it what?
It four, was back, five, to six, back to back.
Back to back to back, three guys. So Georgia has not had, nor will they have for a while, anything like that. They're not going to get the five-star guys. And I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but being a receiver, just being realistic, they don't stick with a guy long enough in order for him to stay. And obviously you looked at, you know, we lost a big-time receiver who, you know, he may have, you know, been a little bit selfish, may have had some, you know, some attitude issues. However, you know, when you see the writing on the wall and in big-time game time situations, you've got one of your best guys in Pickens, who was a second round, was Pickens a second round or third rounder? I forgot. But you got a guy, Pickens, who's the most dominant athlete on the field, and in key times in the game, he's not in the game, or he gets two, you know, he gets two receptions. And so that, and until, you know, B-Mac goes and changes that, and, you know, and he's the passing coordinator too. So that's going to be a good thing. But until he gets to the point where he's sticking with one guy, we're not going to be able to draw those big time names and those big time receivers for a while. So, but then again, too, you got Arch. If Arch can talk to some guys and say, hey, listen, let's go in there and make a difference, will they be patient enough to rotate and do all those things that historically Georgia has done with their receivers?
I'm with you. Listen, so I'm going to do this right fast. Listen, in my backyard, for the 24 cycle, not 23, but 24 cycle, there's two kids. There's two kids. Number three, number eight, out of Grimsley High School here. Number three, Alex Taylor. Alex Taylor and number eight, Terrell Anderson. Listen, both of those guys right there have the ability to – they're fast. Like they're not like elite speed, right? You're not like a 4.3, 4.2 type, right? 4.4, 4.5 range, I feel is there. They're both 6'2", 6'3 range. They're physical. Terrell Anderson is an absolute physical freak after he gets the ball in his hands. He will stiff arm the shit out of you. He's very physical. And that's what I like to see from a receiver. Physicality, ability to go in, soft hands, great routes. Both of those – excuse me. Both of those guys. Ability to run routes. Pristine. I love it. They're crisp routes. Could work, you know, a little bit better, but I'm telling you now, they're where they are right now, they're only going to get better. Both of those guys, in my opinion, I would love to see at Georgia. I think you have them on the outside. That would be an ideal matchup. Listen, I just like what they put on the field, and it's only going to get better, right, until they get to the next level. It's a matter of time, right? They're 24 kids, but I'm telling you, they're only going to get better, and this year is just going to be one of those years where the potential for a breakout season from both of these guys is way up there. With that being said, though, if you want a guy that's smaller, like almost undersized one, there's two kids out here that I think their speed makes up for the size, right? From a receiver yourself, you can understand that if you're not the prototypical size, you better have the speed. And the two guys that I'm about to name around me have it. Barry Tate from Northeast Guilford. R.J. Baker from Dudley, about 5'9", 5'10", about 180 range for both, I think, but 4.3 speed. And watch them. And listen, if you don't believe me, check them out. Watch the huddle highlights, and you'll see for yourself just how fast it is. Tate does not lie.
Yeah.
It does not lie. Yeah, I'm just saying right now, Barry Tate, look him up. R.J. Baker from Dudley, look him up. I promise you. The speed is unreal. It's a legit 4.3 speed, both of those guys. And you know, right, you might not be 6 feet, 6'1", like Arian and C.J. Smith, but if you've got that kind of speed, and listen, both of them are excellent in space. Screens, perfect for screens. Getting them in space, letting them use their twitch to get around and break tackles and get out and just go. Both of them excellent kick returners in high school, I promise you. The speed is real. So whether you want the size, like you see at Grimsley here, right, with Alex and Terrell, or your speed from Barry or Barry and RJ, just around here, you have that blend. You know, like you said, what Georgia wants, I think you're kind of seeing that mix, right? You're going to see some smaller guys. You're going to see some bigger guys. There's some around here. And listen, BMAC knows what's around here, but he knows he's looking around the whole nation, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that he comes in and literally wipes the board clean, and you start to see us come into these guys like Hakeem Williams, he's going to go get the best guys. That, you know what I mean? He's just going to do that. My opinion is there's some guys just here for me that can fit those molds very well. Now, Juan, do we talk about the tight end and how it's changing? I'm just saying.
It's an embarrassment of riches. We are very tight end rich right now.
Absolutely. Listen, Juan, I'm going to let you talk about this. What is changing in regards to tight end recruiting at Georgia?
Well, I tell you what, Munkin was able to do from that 13 personnel and to be successful, to win a national championship with more so three tight ends on the field was absolutely amazing. But what he's done is he's just changed the game, where the tight end is just not only that big time blocker, and every now and then they'll just throw him a bone. The tight end, which I've never seen in my entire life, was running jet sweeps. who's ever seen or heard of a tight end jet sweep?
I've
been an offensive coordinator for football for years and years, and I would have never have thought in a million years to have my tight end run a jet sweep. But he's just kind of revolutionized the game and what the tight end can do, and making him more of that hybrid guy. And we saw in the spring game what Eric Gilbert could do. So imagine you've got a Brock Bowers, you've got an Eric Gilbert, you've got Delp, you also have Darnell, that they could just rotate those guys in and out. And it's just going to be very, very difficult to game plan for that. I mean, there's so many personnel groupings, so many things that you have to game plan for. And it's just going to be a matter of, are you going to be ready, you know, when that hits the field?
Jesus, man.
So if I'm a tight end and I'm in high school, I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at Georgia for sure. Or if, you know, you hate to say this because you don't want to lose recruits, but if Munkin just picks up and goes somewhere, I'm chasing Munkin, because you know that you're going to be a big time part of the offense.
I'll tell you this. If you're a bigger receiver, like from a measurable standpoint, I'll tell you right now, if you're 6'4", about 230, something like that, if you're out there and you've somehow come across the DGD podcast right now or later in the future, whatever the case be, and you're in high school, if you want to come to Georgia, just block and get great at blocking, right? I trust your receiving skills. Todd Hartley will come get you, okay? Todd Hartley will come and get you. Listen, Todd Hartley's new nickname for me, Juan, is the Mountie. He always gets his man. I'm leaving it there. So it makes too much sense. It really does. Like, you know, the crazy thing about it is, you know, you look at, you know, Eric Gilbert goes to LSU, right, when we thought that there was a good chance that he could have went to Bama at first, but then Georgia for the longest time, right, knowing that we needed two tight ends that class, right? You get Darnell Washington, right, and that's awesome. You needed that. But Eric goes to LSU, right? Those are the two guys. Like, it was him, Darnell, and Theo Johnson. Theo commits to Penn State, right? I mean, but he was also from Canada, so it kind of made sense there too. But nonetheless, neither here nor there. Eric Gilbert goes to LSU, kind of spurns the whole country, really. Nobody really expect anything. I think he was chasing the previous year's success on offense, and it just wasn't the case. Regardless, he is now at Georgia alongside of Darnell Washington, both two guys that he wanted. Listen, the Mountie always gets his man. Brock Bowers, only tight end that he recruited, my man got him, right? Yeah. You look at Oscar Delp, only tight end that he recruited, like physically and hard, like hard recruit, got him. Now he's got two tight ends in Pierce Berlin and Lawson Lucky. We'll wait to see if they sign on the dotted line, but there's a good chance that you probably will. Mm-hmm. And then it's just going to be insane, right? Like, the way that the way that Georgia is utilizing the tight end in the offense, why, if you're an elite tight end, why would you not want to come to play at Georgia? Because you can see personally, you're going to play, right? You're going to play. Like, and the way we're recruiting them is you see receiver type guys, but able, you know, but able to block. Brock Bowers got better at blocking last year. Oscar Delp, he's still got he's a brand new freshman. If he plays, he's going to get better at blocking. You know, I don't know if you're going to see like the John Fitzpatrick type, right? You might, but I think you're going to see a rotation, kind of what we do with our running backs, but for tight ends. I just feel like that's the case.
Yeah, it's like we have a team full of Kyle Pitts. You know, when you think about Kyle Pitts at Florida, he basically just changed the entire game when it actually came to tight ends. And so we took a page out of their book. And again, you know, and think about Lawson Lucky. I mean, he's a legacy guy. His dad played at Georgia. He's at Norcross right up the road. Why would he not want to come and be a part of, you know, what they've got going on here at Georgia?
Yeah, absolutely. Now we're going to transition. Listen, we could talk about tight ends all day. Offensive line. I feel like, obviously, Stacy Searle's coming in, right? He's been here before. Notice the trend of guys that have come in, that are coming back, right? You look at the offensive line, in my opinion, we need to get better. And there's some guys in the state of Georgia right now that would dominate at the next level, but there's no offer from Georgia. The in-state school is not offering them.
Yeah.
To me, that's ugly, right?
Say it again.
Sorry, no. So I'm not knocking Bo Hughley. Bo Hughley's going to be a dude, right? And Ernest Green last year. And I don't really like doing this, but when you get Drew Bobo, Griffin Scruggs, and that's your offensive line makeup, most of the work there, I'm not knocking these kids, but Georgia needs to hit those 5 stars, 4 stars, right? Like, Caden Proctor would be a perfect fit for this. Caden Proctor out of Iowa, as crazy as this may be, he's going to go to Iowa. Watch. And the kid will absolutely – he will be an All-American. He will be a first-round pick at tackle. Or I think he's a guard, actually. The kid will be a bona fide stud at the collegiate level, and I have a feeling he's going to Iowa. Now, he's from Iowa. But what I'm trying to say is the evaluation of offensive line talent, you need – listen, this year, you're more than likely have a chance to lose Broderick, Cedric Van Pran. You have Warren McClendon going to be gone. Warren Erickson will probably be gone, right? You're losing so much of your starting lineup. And what do you have after that, right? You've got a logjam at guard, right? High school tackles that get moved into guard immediately. Mm-hmm. But you got to get it figured out. These guys, you need true bona fide studs along your offensive line. So I need to see an uptick in the way we recruit and evaluate. All right, listen, why haven't we saw some of these kids come out and get offers from Georgia? Right, there are some damn studs down in Georgia from an interior line and tackles for that matter that play like tackles. They're not limited, even at high school level. They're not limited. They'll be able to play tackle at the next in college, I promise you.
Yep.
You need to sit there and evaluate your in-state talent and offer them kids now. Now. Because eventually that offensive line room is going to get weaker, and it's not going to be a good weaker. Like,
right.
Bad. Like,
that's true. That's very true.
You want quality depth. You don't want depth. You want quality depth. If you're not careful, you're just going to have depth, and that causes problems. One, I think this might be my favorite part of the time. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Let's switch over to the defense, man. Let's switch over to the defense. Let's start off with the D-line. I'm telling you right now, I'll do this because let's just do this. That right there is what you're about to get as a true nose tackle. Okay? That's what George is recruiting now. Big physical bodies. If you don't know who that is Jamal Jarrett. I'm telling you right now, when it comes to your defensive line, your interior defensive lineman, they are going to be massive individuals. That is what Georgia, that's what's changing at Georgia. No longer are you going to see these under, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see anything under a 300 is probably a no-go for that interior wise.
Yep.
What Jordan Davis did for Georgia was it showed you, get these guys that are physical freaks. Listen, Jamal is 6'6", 350. He is every bit of 6'6", 350. I can guarantee that. Sadir Mitchell is another guy. 6'3", 6'4", 335. You see what's happening here. You're getting physical freaks right there, guys.
Yep.
And the same with the D-line and the linebackers. Listen, you're not going to find these undersized guys. You're going to find guys that look like this. And you know what I mean? Like, you're going to see that. number 12, right? Number 12 is Bryce Davis. He's a class of 2025 kid. 6'4", 225. He's a rising sophomore, Juan. Rising Good. Sophomore.
Gracious.
Now, I'm not saying that he'll come to Georgia, but that's the type of measurables. But you also look at the track speed. I think Darius Smith is running track right now and just ridiculous speeds, right? Ridiculous times in track. He's a defensive end, Juan. He's a defensive end running those numbers.
That's crazy.
Like, avatars are what Georgia's about to hit defensively, okay? And that applies all across the board for that matter.
Yeah.
All across the board for that matter. So, listen, I'm just saying, right? When you see guys at 6'4", 225, and listen, he's going to get bigger, guys. Bryce Davis will get bigger. The kid got a Vanderbilt offer and a West Virginia offer before he touched the varsity field. Juan, he got.
That's crazy.
Now, listen, any D1 offer is what it is, period. But to have two before
you hit varsity. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's fucking insane.
That's crazy.
So, you know, you look at that right there. Listen, Grimsley is a D1 hotspot anyway near me. All right? So, listen, Grimsley's loaded for multiple cycles, 23, 24, right? Alex and Terrell, 24 kids. Bryce Davis, A.J. Hill. That's another guy. And we'll end on this note right here. A.J. Hill would be another defensive guy. 6'3", 325 as a rising sophomore. Hasn't touched the varsity field yet.
And he's only going to get better. He's only going to get better.
Yep. Absolutely. Listen, from a defensive standpoint, guys, avatars. Just that's all you need to know. Avatars. Physical specimen, lab specimen. Whether it be tall, whether it be big, weighs a lot, runs fast, you're going to get that. That's what Georgia's looking for. Jordan Davis kind of transformed that entire defensive recruiting process. Just saying. Trayvon Walker, same thing. This past defense just changed recruiting at Georgia from a defensive mentality. I guarantee you that. You will see that moving forward. Juan, I think we're done here. I hope people understand. Listen, recruiting at Georgia is changing, but it's not in a bad way, guys. It's not in a bad way. Take what we just did in the national title game, the success on the defense, and now you're going to expand it out to multiple classes moving forward. It's just what's going to happen.
It's going to get better and better.
And it's only going to get better.
Yep. Right? We're not gonna rebuild. We're just gonna reload. That's what's gonna be great.
I love saying that. Absolutely. But with that being said, listen, whether you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, listen, if you didn't catch it right now, that's okay. When you go back to it, comment and let us know. We can go back and see what you're talking about. It's all good. Okay? It's all good. This is perks of doing it live, folks. You can come back, listen to what we're saying, and comment as if you were watching it live, okay?
Yes,
but indeed. On that note, though, Juan, we're going to wrap this thing up, right, and let everybody enjoy their Friday, okay? With that being said, make sure to like, follow, subscribe, right? Have a happy Friday, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Thanks for listening to the DGD Podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast and to the DGD Podcast YouTube channel, where you can watch live Mondays and Fridays at noon Eastern. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the DGD Podcast and check out the website at www.dgdpodcast.com.